Turn to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. We'll begin in verse 8 and we'll read down through verse 13. Verse 8 says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited the Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then our special will come, and then we'll get into the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. God, thank you that we can open up your word and be able to read from it. God, how often we come to your word and we find strength and we find refreshment. God, many times our hearts begin to burn within us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you just come down and that you'd meet with us. Give us just one nugget from your word tonight. God, I pray that it'd just be a blessing and just an encouragement. Lord, that's all we need tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Atonement to me. you for that song and great testimony to stand up behind that song. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus that speaks out for us. We were talking to the fella last night and went through the whole plan of salvation. He put his hand on the Bible and he said, "Dear God, come into my heart, wash away my sins." And then after he got done praying, he said, wow, that was great. He said, "My face is flushed. My face is flushed." And the blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing like that. Praise the Lord. We just read a story in Exodus chapter 17 of Moses. Am I too loud? Exodus chapter 17 and beginning in verse 8. Talking about Moses and what happened to the children of Israel in a battle there. And the beginning of Exodus, we come into the book of Exodus and it opens up with the children of Israel in bondage. The children of Israel in Egypt, working for those taskmasters and enslaved under Pharaoh. Then we find that God brings the Israelites a deliverer. He finds this deliverer out in the backside of the desert, going to college out there, I guess. And found a burning bush, and God says, "I want you to go into Egypt, and I want you to be the deliverer for Egypt." And so we have a group of people in Egypt that are under captivity, a group of people that are enslaved to their taskmaster. Then this man by the name of Moses comes to their aid and says, "I'm going to set you free. I'm going to deliver you. I am going to lead you out of Egypt. But not just out of Egypt, I am going to point you into the direction of Canaan. Canaan, that perfect land that you've been dreaming about." But the Bible says here, that was in chapter 1 and through chapter 10, where it talks about Moses getting the children of Israel rallied up, ready to go and leave Egypt. Then we have the children of Israel leaving Egypt. They run into the Red Sea. And the Bible says that Moses stretched out his rod and he split the Red Sea. A few days later, we find Moses taking his rod and hitting the stone and water coming out of the rock, picturing Jesus Christ, the living water. A few days after the water came out of the rock, we find ourselves in verse 8 of chapter 17. The Bible says Amalek comes and he attacks the Israelites from behind. Amalek is a nomadic tribe that just wandered around looking for grass for their sheep. And they found this great big, if I was a small tribe, I probably wouldn't pick on 3.5 million Jews. Amen. I don't pick on one Jew. Amen. And especially if I was a tribe, I guess they're a little bit cantankerous. They were from the descendant of Esau. And they began to attack the Israelites. And as they began to attack the Israelites, Moses told Joshua, "I want you to go and I want you to accumulate an army for us. I want you to choose some men to go into battle for us." Joshua says, "Yes, Moses, that's what I will do. I will gather a group of men." And so Joshua goes and he gets with the men. He says, "I need some men that are willing to go to battle. I need some men that are willing, if needs be, lay down their life for their nation of Israel." And so Moses told Joshua to gather those men. Then he said, "I'm not just going to stay here in the camp. I'm going to go up on a hillside and I'm going to look out over the battle as it takes place." I can just imagine Moses up there. He was not just a spectator. He was involved. He was involved personally. You see, he was praying to the Lord. You've taken out some people perhaps in soul winning and how they were just spectators and not really involved. You're being attacked by the dog and the kids are throwing the bottles at you and he's just looking at you like, "Man, you got something really wrong with you. What happened to you, huh?" And just a spectator. But Moses said, "No, I'm going to go to the hill and I'm not going to be just a spectator. I'm going to be a prayer warrior in this matter. I am going to go and I'm going to pray for you as you are in the battle." We find Aaron and Hur goes up to that hillside with him. As Moses brings his rod up there to the hillside and then he holds out his hands representing him praying to God. And asking God to help the Israelites defeat the Amalekites. And so we find Moses up there. But then the Bible says his hands, his arms, his hands were heavy. His hands grew heavy. My hands grow heavy if I have to keep them up very long. Your hands grow heavy if you have to keep them up very long. But the Bible says Aaron and Hur rolled out a stone and then set him on the stone and held up his arms. Held up his arms. And that's what made the difference in the battle. Is Moses' arms being uplifted by two men, Aaron and Hur. And they were uplifted, and the Bible says when his hands were uplifted, the Israelites were winning. And when his hands got weary and fell down, then the Amalekites were winning. They were going back and forth. Moses said, hey, that's enough. That's enough of that. We got to keep my hands up in the air. I got to do something. And the two men came on one on each side and held up his arms. I would like to make a few similarities between that story and what we have today. And what we have going on in our lives. You see, there was a group of people that were enslaved, a multitude. 3.5 million Jews, they say. 3.5 million Jews that were under bondage, enslaved by Pharaoh. You and I were enslaved by the devil's crowd or by the devil's burden of sin. We're in bondage. Then God sent a deliverer. And all of us have had our lives touched by a man named Pastor Angel. Amen. Pastor Angel has touched your life. Some of you, you were addicted to different things. And you came to church and boy, you heard Pastor preach and you heard the love and the compassion and your life was changed. You said, man, I got to go back for a second dose of that. That was so good. Let me have another turn, huh? And you came back a second time. And the second time you found the same thing, love and compassion. Man, I got to go a third time. And you started to come faithful and your life has been changed. Your life has been changed. God not only brought a man into the Israelites' pathway to deliver them, but you see, Israel was spoiled. I believe we are spoiled. We are spoiled as a church. I began traveling when I was 15 years old with Brother Boyd, and I got to see some different works and some different ministries. And got to be close to some different preachers and pastors. And might I say, we are spoiled as a church to have Pastor Angel. Amen? Amen. We are spoiled as a church. Man, our pastor loves us. Our pastor cares for us. Our pastor is detailed. His mind is very detailed and very wise as far as finances. It's incredible to burn a mortgage 7 years after the building is built, or 5 years or 6 years after a building is built. Incredible! We have an amazing man of God that God has brought to Faith Baptist Church. And I say, thank God for Pastor Angel. Amen? Thank God for Pastor Angel. He's been such an encouragement. Our lives, some lives and some situations were under in bondage and under in slavery. And then a man was brought, Pastor Angel, and God has used him in a great way to free you from some difficulties in your life. I believe also Moses went to the hillside to oversee. Moses went to the hillside to oversee, and our pastor, Pastor Angel, goes up and he oversees, and he watches, and he looks, and he cares after each one of us. How many of you have received a phone call? Hey, this is just preacher, I just wanted to know how you're doing. Huh? You've all received a phone call like that? Hey, I was just thinking about you, praying for you. What's going on? Are you doing all right? Huh? Been praying for you. Man, that's our preacher. That's our preacher. Thank God for our preacher. As my wife and I were headed up to Minnesota this past Christmas, we had a snowstorm, and I guess Wisconsin decided to pull all its plows off the road, and it was like going through the drifts. We needed a snowmobile instead of a car, a Toyota especially. And we were driving down the road. My phone buzzed. I picked it up. Hey, this is preacher. How's it going? Boy, that just blessed my heart to know that preacher was thinking about me. And a few hours later, hey, How's it going? Just thinking about you. A few hours after that, hey, just wanted to know how's it going. Are you about there? Almost there. Another time, hey, how's it going? I've been praying for you. Hope everything's going all right. That's our preacher. He goes over on the hillside and he looks out and he watches the needs and he sees and he hurt. And he says, that person needs hurt. Let me go help that person out. Let me give that person a call. Our preacher cares. Our preacher loves us. I believe Moses also encouraged the people. You see, what did he bring to the hill? Oh, I love this. He brought a rod to the hill. He brought that rod. So the people, when they looked up on the hillside, they could see the rod, the same rod that brought them through the Red Sea, that split that Red Sea, the same rod that Moses took and struck the stone. That same rod they would see and remember, hey, God was able to do it when we faced the Red Sea. God was able to deliver us from that. God was able to give us water when we needed water from a rock. God was able to do that, and God will be able to help us beat the Amalekites. And they'll look up there and see that rod as a symbol of encouragement. Our preacher is always there ready to encourage us. Man, what can I help you with? How can I help you? Man, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it through it. This is something that just happens. And God is with you. Just like Sunday morning, stay in that boat. Man, things might be going wrong and a storm might be blowing in your life. But just stay in the boat. What was he doing? He was holding out that rod of encouragement. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Just keep on looking to the cross. Everything's going to be all right. I believe we have a man of God that encourages us. I believe Moses held up his hands in prayer. He held up his hands and said, God, deliver us from the Amalekites. Deliver us from the Amalekites. Lord, let the Israelites defeat the attack of this horrible tribe that is attacking us. Lord, give us deliverance from them. He was praying. And I can't tell you how many times preacher has brought your name to the Lord. I can't imagine. Every day. I can't imagine. I can't tell you how many times he's prayed for you here at the altars on Wednesday mornings and in staff meeting just talked about you and loved you and cared for you and wanted to know how you're doing. That's our preacher. He prays for you. Our preacher prays for us. Thank God we have a preacher that loves us and prays for us and oversees us. But Moses' hands became weary. They got tired. They got tired. They got weary. And the willing men uplifted the hands of Moses. They uplifted the hands of Moses. And I want to be a person that upholds the hand of the man of God. I believe you want to be a person that upholds the hands of a man of God. God has blessed us. God has blessed us abundantly. God's blessed us. I want to be maybe just a little armrest for the man of God. Maybe something that can just hold his arms up a little bit. You want to be the same way. Boy, how can we do that? How can we uplift the man of God? How can we encourage him? How can we strengthen him? How can we make his burden go a little bit lighter? I believe there's some things that we can do corporately. I believe there's some things that we can do personally, individually, to help the man of God and say, preacher, I'm behind you. I'm right there. I'm uplifting you. I want to just maybe just be an armrest for you, preacher. Have you ever driven in a car? And the whole time you're driving, maybe your car has an armrest and you're borrowing somebody else's car. And the whole time you're putting your arm down and you go to lean on your arm and your chin almost hits the dash or something like that. Huh? Don't let that happen. Man, let preacher just be able to lean on you. Let preacher let yourself be an armrest to preacher. I just want to take one arm and just hold it up. And say, preacher, I just want your arm lifted up because I know if your arm is lifted up, then the battle is going okay. If we could just keep the arms up, amen. That's what we want to do. I believe we can uplift the arms of the man of God, Pastor Angel, by responding to what he preaches. I believe we can uplift the arms of Pastor Angel and uplift the man of God by responding to what he preaches. We can't calculate all the hours that pastor spends studying and studying and poring over a passage of Scripture. It would take me years upon years to develop one message that he preaches on a Sunday morning. Incredible. I just sit up here and just, oh my goodness, wipe the drool off my Bible and say, oh Lord, oh, shoo, that was tremendous. I can't believe it. But he spends hours and hours in prayer and begging, God, God, give me a message. My people need to be fed. Pastor Angel goes to God and he pleads for a message to feed you. And the greatest encouragement that you can give preacher after pouring out his heart on a Sunday morning is coming and acting on what he preached on, responding properly. The Bible says in verse 9 here, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Verse 10 says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Moses says, Joshua, I want you to come here. I want you to go out and I want you to gather a bunch of men together. We're going to have a battle tomorrow. I'm going to go up on the top of the hill, but I want you to gather these men together. Not just any old person. I want you to gather chosen men, choice men to be in this battle. And Joshua, the Bible says, I love it. In verse 10, it says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him. You see, Moses said something to him and he responded to what he said. The greatest encouragement we can be to our preacher is by acting on what he says. No, Joshua was not holding his hands up physically or his arms up physically, but his actions held up the man of God's arms. He encouraged the man of God. Boy, when preacher pours out his heart on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night and he knows a certain situation that's going on in your life or in a person's life, and then the person stays in their pew and doesn't move, it just breaks preacher's heart. Preacher says, God, I tried my best. I poured out my heart to him. The greatest thing you can do is get out of that pew, come down to the altar and make it right with the Lord. The Bible says in James 1 and verse 22, but be not doers of the word, but be ye hearers of the word and not, James 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, don't be just a hearer. Don't just hear with your ears. I want you to hear and then put it to practice with your feet. Go and respond on what has been preached on. Preacher preaches a message. It touches our heart. The first thing we should do is walk down the aisle. Preacher's heart is blessed. Preacher's heart is encouraged. Preacher says, thank you, God. Thank you, God. What a blessing. Come into preacher's office. And he sits down and he bears out his heart. And he counsels with you. And he gives you a few things. I want you to do this, this, this. And you leave his office. You can do one of two things. Either be a hearer only, or you can be a doer as well. You can do what preacher admonished you to do. Man, I want to uplift my preacher's hands by responding properly to his preaching and responding properly to his counseling. I want to put it to practice. I want to do whatever he says. Boy, if something that he advises you to do, put it into practice. Just do it. Preacher, all right. If that's what you say, I'll pray about it. I'm going to do what the man of God says. I believe we can also not only hold up the man of God's hands by responding properly to the preaching, but I believe we can hold up the man of God's hands by getting involved in what he puts out there for us to do. Man, preacher thinks of different things for us to do and different things for us to be a part of. The Bible says in verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Choose us out men and go out. The Bible says Moses went to men. Would you be a part of this battle we're going to have tomorrow? One man says, I don't want to be a part of that. I might lose my head. I don't want to lose my head. Man, I'm pretty comfortable with my head on my shoulders. You don't know, that's uncomfortable. I don't like to do that once in a lifetime, lose my head. All right, doesn't want to get involved. Comes to the next man. The next man says, well, I know my it just won't work in my situation. It just won't work, Joshua. I don't want to get involved in this battle. Joshua comes to another man. Another man says, yes, whatever I can do. Don't you love that? Man, whatever I can do, I'm right there. I love it. You are substitute helpers and substitute teachers. I love the spirit that you have. Wonderful spirit. Hello, this is Caleb Hansen. It's 7:30 in the morning on Sunday. Just wanted to know if you could be a substitute this morning. Why, sure, that would be a wonderful blessing. I called a fellow the other day on a Sunday morning. I asked him to teach an adult Bible study. That's a little bit different than first grade and second grade and third grade adult Bible study. He said, yes, I'd love to do that. I'm looking forward to it. Boy, what a blessing. Just jumping in and just getting involved. Preacher's heart is uplifted. Preacher's heart is encouraged by somebody that is willing to just get involved anywhere he or she can. Anywhere they can, I am ready to get involved. There is always a reason not to get involved. There's always a reason. I can think of 10 reasons not to be here tonight in the church service. Number one, because I was nervous. Number two, because other things. Amen. But we all could think of 10 different reasons not to be here. But you know what? We have to just set aside the reasons that we have and just jump in and get involved. Amen. Whatever preacher has, preacher says, all right, we're going to have a fly swatting contest. There's been a lot of flies around the church. We're going to have a fly swatting contest this Sunday. Man, well, I want to be involved. Preacher, give me 2 fly swatters. Man, I'll get involved. Well, we're going to have a ping pong baseball Sunday. Boy, I want to get involved. Give me 2 ping pongs. Amen. And whatever I can do, I want to be involved. Same thing with you. Boy, I remember growing up, we had 1 year, there were 9 week-long revival meetings. 9 week-long revival meetings. That's a lot of revival meetings. We held at one time, Brother Boyd, we held 1 revival that lasted 2 weeks long. But this was 9 week-long revival meetings. There were a bunch of reasons why we should not have gone or why we didn't exactly desire to go. But Dad loaded us up every night, 7 nights out of those weeks, out of those 9 weeks, loaded us in the car because he said, preacher scheduled it, we're going to be involved. Whatever is at church, we're going to just jump in and get involved in the activities or in the services. It's a blessing to preacher's heart to see you get involved. Man, he just stands up here and hears name after name of people that did this or taught or helped out in a Sunday school or worked on a bus ride. He says, boy, that just encourages my heart. His heart, hands are held up in the air by people that are involved and just jumping in, ready to help out. We come to Exodus chapter 35 and verse 29. And the Bible says that the Israelites, Moses told the Israelites, whoever is willing, I want you to come and I want you to be a part of building the tabernacle for the Lord. I want you to be a part. And the Bible says that the people of Israel came with abundance, with a willing heart, an involved heart, whatever there's to do. Moses says, have you ever dyed linens? No, I've never done that. But boy, I'd sure love to do it. I would sure love to learn. Have you ever taught a Sunday school? No, I sure haven't. Boy, it is a blessing. I'm telling you, it is a blessing. This past Sunday, many of you didn't know, this past Sunday, we had the helpers teach in the Sunday school classes. And those Sunday school helpers were so excited, and they did a fabulous job. But they were just ready to get involved. Preacher's heart is blessed by that. His heart is just strengthened by that. Whatever there's to do, I want to come with a willing heart. I'm ready to help out. You see, we find another time in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. This time it wasn't the tabernacle. This time it was the temple. And Nehemiah said, all right, we're going to build the wall. Nehemiah said, we're going to build the wall again. And the Bible says in that verse, the people had a mind to work. In other words, he said the people were ready to just jump in and get involved. Whatever there is, I'm going to be a part of it. If it's just picking up some mortar and giving it to the guy that's working on the wall, that's what I'll do. If it's just picking up a pebble and putting it on top of the wall, hey, that's good enough for me. I'll do that, whatever there is. I'm willing to get involved. You see, the woman at the well. The woman at the well, she was ready to get involved. She got saved. The next thing we know is the woman at the well, she went off into the city and she went to go find all of her friends. What did she do? She brought them all out. She said, I want to get involved in this thing of being a soul winner. Somewhere, somehow, let me get involved in it. And every time you get yourself involved in something, it blesses preacher's heart. I can just see preacher's hands going up in the air. See preacher's hands being lifted up, being stabilized and being uplifted by your participation in whatever it is, whatever aspect. You say, Brother Caleb, I can't do much. Anything is a big encouragement to preacher. Anything. Then I believe we can uplift the hands of the man of God through encouraging the preacher. The Bible says Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You see, the Bible says they stayed up. Encouragement means to uplift. Encouragement means to bring up. That's what they were doing to Moses. They were lifting up his arms. They were encouraging the man of God. I can just see Aaron and Hur up there as they were holding up the man of God's hand, the man of God's arms. As they were standing up there holding him up, I can just see him saying, there goes another one. There goes another one. Hey, Moses, we're going ahead. Hey, we're winning this thing. It's exciting. Look at those heads bop around like a bunch of bowling balls down there. Woo! We're winning this thing. Him getting excited. Both of those fellas, Aaron and Hur, then what were they doing? They were holding up the hands of the man of God. We want to be an encouragement to the man of God. David was just a shepherd boy. And he grabbed a sling and a rock. And he put the rock in the sling. And he hurled it at the giant. And the giant came a-tumbling down as we sing the song. But I believe it was the encouragement of the others in the army and the encouragement of the people when we went home. David has killed his tens of thousands. I believe it was that encouragement that made David keep on going and say, God gave me a victory that time. God can give me a victory again. And it encouraged David's heart. I just want to be an encouragement to the man of God. You want to be an encouragement to the man of God. You just want to uplift his hands. There's a lot of things that you could tell the man of God. But the top thing you want to tell the man of God, what a blessing he is. What a blessing he is to your heart. What a blessing he is to your life. Boy, just write a note. Write a note. Preacher, I'm praying for you. Preacher, I really enjoyed that message this morning. Preacher, that message really gave me some hope in the situation that I'm going through. A simple note like that. You say people do that all the time. No. People don't. Just slide a note underneath preacher's door. Preacher, I love you. Preacher, I'm praying for you. Preacher, that was a blessing. You don't know what that does when he picks up that note. And he reads that, all of a sudden a fire begins to burn his heart. Praise the Lord! He can go to the pulpit again and just be excited about preaching and be excited about giving a message that'll help your life. Just slip a note underneath the door. Maybe just tell him that you appreciate him. Hey, preacher, I appreciate you. Appreciate you all that you do for me. Appreciate all the things, the prayer that you give for our family. Appreciate what you've done for our family, huh? He's done a lot for our families. Our preacher has done a lot for our families. Preacher, I appreciate what you've done for our families, how you've preached on the home and how you've made a difference in our lives. Appreciate you, preacher. Tell him how much you pray for him. Preacher, I prayed for you this morning. Preacher, I just wanted to know that early this morning, your name was mentioned in my prayers. Tell preacher that. Young people, tell preacher that you're praying for him. You say, well, preacher doesn't mind it, or preacher doesn't care if I pray for him. A little child, a little first grader, second grader, third grader, teenager. Oh yes, that makes a big difference to preacher. That encourages preacher. He says, praise the Lord, I got a group of young people that are uplifting me and before the throne of grace. Adult, tell preacher, hey preacher, I'm praying for you. I prayed for you this morning. Preacher, I'm excited. I can't wait to hear your message this Sunday. I'm just so excited about it. Preacher, I'm praying for you. Let preacher know that. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you love him. Preacher, I love you. Preacher, I love you. What did Aaron and Hur do? They uplifted the arms of the man of God. They uplifted the arms of the man of God. I believe sometimes we don't know what we have. Kind of like a little infant. If I were to take my son, if I were to get a great big cake from, let's say I get a cake from Kroger's, and I cut that cake into 100 pieces, and for the next 100 days, I give him a piece of cake. You know what he's going to, at the end of those 100 days, he's going to take a little bit of green peas. And he's going to say, man, that's horrible. Why? Because he's been a little bit spoiled on the dainties of life. You and I have been spoiled on the spiritual dainties of the Word of God from the mouth of our preacher. He has bestowed on us wonderful truths out of the Word of God. I feel like we're spoiled. We don't realize what we have. We don't realize what we have. We have something incredible. Incredible. So the least that I can do is I can just be an encouragement to the man of God. The least I can do is just maybe hold his hands up a little bit as they become weary and want to sag a little bit. Just uplift those arms. I don't want to be a raining cloud all the time. A thunder cloud rolls in and all of a sudden my presence comes. And just be the cloud that thunders down bad news all the time. Did you hear about the scuff that's on the door? Did you hear about the down front when I was kneeling at the altar, my knee was pierced from a fingernail that was left at the altar. You need to make sure those cleaners clean you. Did you hear about that little scuff that's on my pew or the little things? Man, I just want to be an encouragement. I don't want to be a raining cloud all the time. I want to uplift the man of God. I can remember as a teenager sitting in the van one Wednesday night. And my dad pointing out something to us kids. He said, I want you to watch this particular person. This particular person was going from one group. There's a group of people talking over here and a group of people talking over here. Group of people talking over here. There's five different groups that we watched that Wednesday evening. And as that person went from this group, they began to laugh and began to joke, and it was knee slappers after a while and bending over, just joking and laughing around, having a good old time. All of a sudden, the excitement started to pick up in that group. Then she went to the next group. And that group just kept on just laughing and having a good old time. And all of a sudden, this group started doing some knee busters and leaning back and just laughing and giggling and having a good old time. Then that person left that group and went to the next group. Here now we have one group and the second group and the third group started laughing and joking around in the fourth group and the fifth group. Boy, it just was so much fun to watch that person. It was like it was buckets of joy being splashed on those crowds. That's what you and I want to be to the man of God. As you're shaking your hand, preach, I'm praying for you. Man, that was a good old sermon. Boy, I can't wait till you preach this Sunday. As you're sitting in your pew after the service, preach, I really appreciate that message. That really helped me out. Slipping underneath his door. Huh? That is like the bucket of joy being splashed on our preacher. That's like his arms being uplifted, ready to pray and ready to go on. We can uplift the man of God's hands by encouraging him. We can uplift the man of God's hands by welcoming the guests into the church. Welcoming the guests. We just kicked off our spring program. And I'm excited about all the visitors. I can see it, man. This auditorium's already full. I see people up there, visitors up here and over there and down front here. This pew is a good thing nobody sat in here because the pew is full of visitors. I can see them already. And it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing. But there's nothing that'll encourage preacher's heart more than to see his church members going up to a visitor and say, hey, I am so glad that you came to our services. There's hundreds of churches around here. Within an hour's drive, you could have drove to any of them. I am so glad that you came to our church service. Thank you for coming to our church service. You don't know what that does for a preacher when he sees you out there being a blessing to the visitors, being a blessing to the guests. In Acts chapter 9, I love this verse, Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. It talks about Barnabas and talks about Paul. Paul just got saved. He just came in with the rest of the disciples. The rest of the disciples, the Bible says, they kept him at arm's distance. They kept him away. You're that murderer. You're that person that killed one of our good friends, huh? You're that guy. You're that one of those guys that's kind of wild and crazy about hurting God's people. But in verse 27 it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Barnabas said, I want to be a blessing to this visitor in our midst. He said, I am going to bring him to the rest of the disciples. I am going to help him. I'm going to aid him in anything that he needs. I believe if there would have been no Barnabas, there would have been no Apostle Paul. Why? Because somebody had to greet him. Somebody had to welcome him in and embrace him into their fellowship and into their fold and into the disciple, the group there. Somebody had to be that suction cup. Boy, just be like a vacuum to visitors. Hey, I want you to come sit with me. Hey, you're a visitor? Hey, you come sit with me. I got visitors on both sides of me. Hey, you're a visitor? I want you to sit right in front of me. You're a visitor? I want you to sit right in back of me. Hey, I'm surrounded by visitors. I want visitors to know that this is a place where visitors are welcome. I want them to know that. When preacher sees that, his hands are going to be uplifted. His hands are going to be strengthened. He's going to be encouraged by seeing you welcome guests and welcome visitors into the church, into the services. I believe we ought to introduce ourselves. You say, there was a guy sitting down the row from me, and I had never met him before. I say, go and meet him. Go and meet her. Find out why or how they heard about the church. Find out what their name is. Find out who they are. Well, we had a few strangers today. Either people are strangers or they're guests. And you determine which one they are. Either they're strangers or they're guests. This should be a place where there are no strangers, just friends we have not met yet. Huh? That's the place, that's the way it should be. Boy, when the visitors start coming in and the bus kids start bringing in their moms and dads and the adults in the community start coming into our services, boy, let's just suck them in. Boy, just flood them with love and flood them with excitement about them being here. They didn't have to be here. The preacher will be encouraged through your actions. Introduce yourself to them. Don't let a visitor sit by himself or herself. Don't let a visitor sit all by themselves over in that corner. Don't let that happen. Say, hey, you're going to sit with me. I just found myself a new friend. Guess who it is? It's you. You're my new friend. Come sit with me. Huh? Yeah, don't let a visitor sit by themselves. We want to invite them in to let them know that we love visitors. We love guests. Don't let a visitor sit by themselves. Make a decision before the spring program even begins. I'm not going to see a visitor sit by themselves. They will have somebody to sit with. And then when they sit with you, don't let them try to find where we are in the psalm book. All right, as they hold the psalm book upside down and then you look at them and give them funny looks. Don't do that, for sure. Boy, you want to get that psalm book out there. Boy, we're singing this one. Sweet, sweet spirit. Sing it out here. La, la, la. And you sing the song, you know, octave lower or keys off or something like that. But just make sure that you make them feel welcome. Open up that song for them. Open up your Bible. They don't have a Bible. Take your Bible. Here, use my Bible. Your Bible? Me? Use your Bible? Yeah. You? Use my Bible. I want you to. You know why? Because you are my new friend. You are my new friend. In our class, we never have adults introduce themselves. We don't do that. We make sure that somebody introduces them. And so we have a class member sitting there, and beside the class member is a visitor. And we'll say, well, we're going to have Rex introduce his guest. And Rex looking around, he looks at me, and then he sees the person that's there for the first time and says, oh, yeah, you're my new friend, amen. Let me introduce you to the class. And it happens all the time, every Sunday that happens. But make sure you help them in finding their place in the psalm book, finding their place in the Bible. Make sure you help them in then introduce them to your friends. Hey, you're my friend. I want to introduce my friends to my other friends, all right? Come on, follow me. Let me show you one of my friends. Let me introduce you to one of my friends. And you get them hooked up and you get them introduced to your friends. That'll bless Pastor Angel's heart. That'll bless his heart when he sees the visitors just being swallowed up by a great big welcome. By a great big welcome. Which one are you? Are you uplifting the hands or are you pulling the hands down? Are you able to let preacher's hands rest upon you? Are you an arm rest? Or are you a burden to the arms? Which one? I just want to be an upliftment. You want to be an upliftment to preacher. We're spoiled. Hey, let's let the Lord know that we're appreciative for letting us be spoiled. Amen? Let's let the Lord know that. Because the Bible wants us to uplift the man of God's hands. Aaron and Hur uplifted Moses' hands, and the battle was won. I believe the difference that took place there was a couple people decided, yes, the hands got weary and they started to go down, but we will lift them back up. We will support them. We will help them out. And I believe we have a group here tonight that just want to uplift preachers' hands. Amen. I believe so. I believe you want to just lift them up like you have already for the last 18 years. I just say, just keep it up. Amen. Just keep on holding those hands up. Keep on pushing them up. The higher the hands, the better off we are. Amen. Just keep on uplifting those hands of the man of God. Which one are you? Which one are you? Are you an arm rest or an arm weight? Arm rest, arm weight. Make sure your preacher knows that you love him. He knows that you love him. But make sure you tell him that you love him. Verbal, written, or in your actions. Just like Aaron and Hur did to Moses. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I guess I didn't realize how spoiled we are. I guess I didn't realize that we have been blessed above measure. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I realize that I need to do something to uplift the hands of the man of God. I need to do something that'll just encourage him and strengthen him. Brother Caleb, I need to do a little bit more responding properly to the messages that I hear. Brother Caleb, I need to do a little bit more responding to what preacher tells me in the counseling or something like that. I don't want to be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. Brother Caleb, I need you to pray for me about that. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I just need to get involved. I need to just jump in and get involved. Whatever there is, whether it's in a different ministry, or whether it's just helping preacher out in a small thing. I need to get involved in being an upliftment to my preacher. I need to encourage my preacher. I need to write maybe a note. I need to maybe pat him on the back and say, Preacher, I'm praying for you. Preacher, I love you. Or maybe you just need to say, Brother Caleb, I need to be a better welcome to the guests that come in the spring program. I need to be an encouragement to our guests. Brother Caleb, the Lord spoke to my heart somewhere in that message. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? I see that. I see hands all over the place. All over the place. Put your hands down. Maybe say, Brother Caleb, I I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die, I'll go to heaven. I know I didn't preach on salvation, but you say, Brother Caleb, I need to know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you just pray for me? I've never asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, wash away my sins. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Okay. All right. The Lord worked on your heart. The Lord worked on your heart, and God said, I want you to be an upliftment to a pastor this week or in this area. The Lord dealt with your heart, or you raised your hand. Boy, respond to the Lord. Don't let the Lord prick your heart any longer. Just go and respond to the Lord, whatever the Lord's dealing with your heart on. The pianist and the organ is going to play here in just a few minutes. You do business with the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for each one of the folks that have come. God, I pray that you'd uplift them and strengthen them. God, I pray that you would help us to be bearing the arms of our preacher as he fights for us and as he cares for us. God, I pray that you would help us to be an encouragement to him. Strengthen our preacher. Lord, we love him. We love him. The people here love him. God, I pray that you would do business, help us to do business at the altar this evening. In Jesus' name we pray.